السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. وقال تعالى: فقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been extremely kind to us. And that is why we always say that our Allah, our Khaliq, our Raziq, our Creator, He is Kareem. The definition of Kareem: هو الذي يعطي بدون الاستحقاق والمنة. That being who grants bounties, who blesses the recipient, though the recipient is not even deserving of those blessings. Each and every one of us seated here, can anyone claim that, you know, it is because of my achievement, it is because of my accomplishment that I have been blessed with Iman and Islam? Can anyone make that claim? That, you know, because my great-grandfather was a very pious person, that is why today I have got Iman and Islam? The reality is, respected elders and brothers, this great, valuable asset and treasure of Iman, which is, as we've repeatedly heard, amongst the most valuable assets that we possess. Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. That person who gains entry into Jannah and attains salvation from the fire of Jahannam, he is successful. In other words, this Iman that Allah has blessed us with, this is our ticket to Jannah. This is our ticket to Jannah. And the value of Jannah, the Quran Sharif speaks about it. In one verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the disbelievers, when they, the gist of that ayat, when they will have to be thrown into the fire of Jahannam, they will try to bargain. They try to bargain with the angels that are on duty. That, listen, we've got this wealth here, we've got properties, we've got investments, offshore investments, we've got this property and that property, we've got money in this bank and that bank. You can have all of that, but just take us and protect us from this fire of Jahannam. It'll make absolutely no difference. Absolutely no difference. The value of this earth, in one beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى منها كافرا شربة ماء. Just to understand the value of this world, Allah Ta'ala says, and Nabi Kareem Sassim says in one hadith sharif, that if the value of this world, and that if can be highlighted, if the value of this world was equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it had that much value, which is really no value at all. If somebody has to go to a store, many of us are businessmen, we've got our own shops. Imagine somebody comes inside, or he goes into a jeweler's store and says, listen, I would like to have this diamond ring. There's no problem, you see how it shines and look at the different angles and so on. I said, but how much of money? So he gives him the price. He said, listen, I don't have that money, but I've got this whole packet of this entire, never mind packet, I've got an entire container of mosquito wings parked outside. The truck is there, we'll deliver and make payment of mosquito wings. That person will say, listen, brother, there's an asylum down the road. Go to the nearest asylum and go and check yourself out. Person will think this person is mad. He wants to buy a diamond ring with mosquito wings. Who is going to ever take such payment? I'm trying to make us understand how we look at a mosquito wing in this world. Hadith Sharif says that even if that world had that much value in the sight of Allah, even if it had that much value, مَا سَقَى مِنْهَا كَافِرًا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ, Allah would not have given the disbeliever one sip of water to drink. But because the world does not even have that much value in the sight of Allah, Allah says, you have how much you want, take. You want to build 10 houses, build 10 houses. You want a yacht, to take the yacht also. You want to build another property in that country, build it, no problem, take it. This world is absolutely useless. Now the person wants to bargain in Akhirat with the angels with this world which is absolutely useless. It will never work. But Allah Ta'ala has given us such a thing, Iman, which grants us entry into Jannah and protects us from the fire of Jahannam. Can we now understand the value of this Iman? Did any of us pay for it? Did we put forward some payment? Or did we give some kind of promises that, listen, you know, we will make so much of payment? Nothing. Allah, only out of His tibet of Karimi and Rahimi, out of His mercy, His kindness, Allah blessed us with Iman and Islam. That is why, respected elders and brothers, the reality is, if myself and all of us have to place our head in sajda from now till Qiyamah to thank Allah for this gift of Iman, we will not be able to fulfill. What a great ni'mah. So we need to understand the value of this asset of Iman and Islam, such a great bounty and ni'mah. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, when a person has got a valuable asset, a youngster starts working, and now he's got his eye, he wants to buy that particular latest model, BMW or Golf GTI, now he's got it in his mind, I'm working, that's my goal, I need to get this vehicle. Now when I have this kind of mags and that spec and this year and that, and he's all the time, that's the back of his mind, that's the motivating force that's driving him to continue working. And sometimes he gives a few extra hours. Every time he wants to give up, that car flashes in his mind. Sometimes he puts it at a profile picture too. That's his dream, that's his goal. And he carries on, he works towards it. Now imagine this youngster, finally, he goes into that dealership, he makes the payment, and now he gets delivery of the vehicle. Now he's now on cloud 9, he's floating. And sometimes he parks the car in such a place too that, you know, people can, you know, notice him. He's looking for that attention. He wants to be acknowledged that, you know, I've got this vehicle. This is the vehicle that I was after I got it. Now after that much of effort that was made and he's been able to achieve his dream and goal, won't he be concerned about looking after the vehicle? He'll make sure he puts a tracker system there. He'll make sure that he's put some security measures in place. He's make sure that the vehicle is always parked in a safe place. His mind is always there on his vehicle. If he finds there's some fault in that vehicle, he makes sure that he's taken back to the dealership. That, listen, I've got this vehicle is under warranty. Why? Why am I getting this noise coming out of this vehicle? In the back of his mind, he knows how hard he worked to achieve that vehicle. Now all the time he's concerned about maintaining and looking after that vehicle. He's concerned about the security of that vehicle. He's concerned about the protection of that vehicle. Why? It's got value in his heart. He knows how hard he's worked for it. If only, respected elders and brothers, the value of Iman can come in our hearts. If we can understand this value of Iman and how valuable an asset Iman is in our lives, more valuable than any vehicle in this world, more valuable than any property in this world, Allah has blessed us with Iman. Just as that youngster is concerned about the security of that vehicle, we should be concerned about the security of our Iman. Is there anything that I'm doing in my life that is harming or is affecting or is weakening my Iman? Is my Iman being protected? Am I maintaining my Iman? How upset we become with that youngster. Or sometimes the father bought his son a vehicle. Or maybe he gifted his son the vehicle. And I said, my boy, you need to look after this vehicle. You need to make sure you maintain it. And now the son doesn't bother. He doesn't bother maintaining the vehicle, doesn't check the oil, doesn't check pressure, nothing, not interested. How upset the father becomes. He says, you got the vehicle. Yes, you didn't work for it, but at least appreciate the fact that you've been given the vehicle. Shouldn't you maintain it? How upset we become with that child. Yes, many of us, we were born Muslims. We didn't have to work for Islam. But Allah will become very upset that I blessed you with iman and you didn't maintain your iman. You didn't look after your iman. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, today's talk by way of introduction, we are going to focus on aspects and important things in our life which will ensure that we maintain and strengthen our iman. Being the month in which, in this country, in South Africa, a lot of emphasis is being placed on human rights. And I want to tie this up with Islam and iman. And what does Islam say about human rights? Allahu Akbar, respected elders and brothers, this is the beauty of Islam, that it's not only confined to the masjid. Many other religions, this is the mistake they made, that they only adopted their religion and practiced and showed their religion when they went to their churches, when they went to their synagogues. As Muslims, we have a complete way of life. A complete way of life. And we should never feel ashamed of it. We should never feel ashamed. This is the most beautiful way. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The most beautiful way. Those people who are apologetic Muslims, what happened? They assimilated with the community. There was no difference. People said, well, what's the difference between him and us? I mean, he eats the food we eat. He drinks like how we drink. He goes to the cinema, discos and theatres. So what's the difference? What's the difference between us and him? Well, he worships his God when he goes to the mosque on Friday, or we go to the church on another day. But that's the only difference. But those people, respected elders and brothers, who were practicing Muslims, they were not ashamed of their religion. There was one famous personality in the Indian subcontinent, who when the British were ruling, he was employed by the British government. He was a deputy collector in those days, and that was a very senior position. His name was Shah Azizul Hasan Majzoob, Rahmatullahi. So he was a deputy collector. But whenever the British government would have a meeting with all the deputy collectors, who were very senior members of the government, then all of them would come from the various districts and regions for this very important meeting. But when Khaja Sahab would enter, the British personality who was hosting the entire meeting, he would stand up and he would move the chair and allow this personality to sit down. So the other quietly went to him and said, well, we also deputy collectors. Why is it that you give this man so much more respect than us? He says, you see, the difference between him and you is that you have forsaken your ways. You have adopted our ways. There is no difference between you and us. But I respect this man, because though he's employed by us, he has stood firmly and he's held on fast onto his own way and onto his own religion. And for that, I respect the man. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we need to understand that we do not need to apologize to anyone for being Muslims. We don't need to apologize to the world that, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm a Muslim, and I'm sorry for this, and I'm sorry that I, you know, eat in this manner, and I'm sorry that I'm not drinking alcohol, and I'm sorry I'm not doing this here. There's nothing to be ashamed about. In fact, we should be proud that I'm so proud that I have adopted a religion in which it has protected me from consuming alcohol, which will destroy my body and harm my life. And as a result, will lead to disaster, will lead to regret and remorse. So respected elders and brothers, Islam is a complete way of life. May Allah protect us from being amongst those people who restrict our Islam and our Iman to the masajid. In fact, our Islam and Iman has to transcend in every facet of our lives. Hence, Nabi Kareem Sa'asim has given directives. And he has said many things. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that person who causes harm to his neighbor, he is not a true believer. That person who causes takleef to his neighbor, he is not a true believer. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best amongst you, the best amongst all of you. And who was he addressing? He was addressing Sahaba-i-Kiram. And we must understand that Sahaba-i-Kiram had 5 times salah in their lives. Sahaba-i-Kiram, mashallah, they had tilawat in their lives. Sahaba-i-Kiram had sacrificing in their lives. Sahaba ikram, they sacrificed for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was addressing them. And he said, amongst all of you, who is the best? The best amongst you is the one who is the best to his wife. Who is best to his wife? Sometimes you find, respected elders and brothers, it's sad to say, and I'm sure many ulama will bear me out on this, those who are dealing with aspects of the community. And sometimes you'll find the person is in the masjid, mashallah, the outward appearance is excellent. Sometimes you'll meet the person you think is the Bayezid Bustami of the time. Tasbih too is very, very long. Of course, we're not saying that you use a tasbih, there's something wrong with it. But sometimes the person's outward appearance is phenomenal. But yet when the manner in which he interacts with his wife and his children, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, sometimes World War VII has already taken place in his house. That's what's happened. He walks into the house like a military commander. Looking this side, that side, anybody opens their mouth, finish, they had it. Another missile is coming from this side or that side. This is not Islam. This is not the way of Rasulullah SAW. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu stated, in beautiful poetry, she said, Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. Wa shamsuna tatlu'u ba'da al-fajri, ba'da al-isha'i. Wa shamsukum tatlu'u ba'da al-fajri. She said that we have got a sun and the horizon has also got a sun. The sun of the horizon rises in the morning after Fajr. But our sun rises after Isha when my Nabi Kareem Sassam enters the home. In other words, when Rasulullah Sassam entered the home, he brightened that entire home up. And can we say that there was anyone who had more fikr? Sometimes you say, but Moran, you know, I got a lot of problems in my life. That's the thing. So it's a lot of stress. My stress levels are too high. Oh, I got the fikr of the whole ummah in my life. So I'm worried about my fikr. For the fikr levels are very high. Can anyone say that they have got more fikr and concern than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. If somebody has to say, I have got more fikr than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will say, bhai, you are disrespecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the greatest fikr. And he had concern for his sahaba. There was always that concern and fear that the enemy was going to attack Madinah to Munawwara. There was a fear of security. There was a fear on every front. There was some concern everywhere. Yet when Rasulullah SAW entered his home, he entered with a smile. He brightened up the entire home. This was the teaching of Rasulullah SAW. Human rights. We speak about human rights. This is human rights. And if the person can get it right with the wife, remember, you want to find out what's the temperament of a person, the akhlaq of a person, go and ask the wife. If the wife can give you some kind of good testament or good, feedback, then we can in fact say that the mashallah, this person's akhlaq is really up to a certain standard. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, when it comes to our wives, how we treat our wives is extremely important. And then, in this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given a general directive, which we can apply to every aspect of our lives. And the translation of this particular hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you can achieve and perfect his iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And we can apply this to every aspect of our lives. For example, let's look at a simple situation. We are parking now in the masjid. Now, a person comes to the masjid and he parks his car in such a place that obstructs others. He has to ask himself the question, would I like it? Would I like it that if I have got some kind of an emergency or there is a church a few doors down the road and the church goers park their car and block my driveway, would I like it? I definitely would not like it. So if I do not like it, I should not do that to the next person. If I do not like that when I enter the toilet is in a very filthy condition, then I must ensure that when I use the toilet, I do not leave the toilet in such a condition that causes takleef and that causes difficulty to other users. This is a general aspect that we can apply in our lives. Love for your brother, that which you love for yourself. And this was, subhanAllah, respected elders and brothers, we have practical examples in the lives of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. On one occasion, in the battlefield, the Sahaba-i-Kiram always preferred others over themselves. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ. One of the verses of the Quran Sharif makes reference to this aspect and this theme in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, that they gave preference to others over themselves. And this is what Islam promotes, selflessness as opposed to selfishness, that we only make concern about ourselves. On one occasion it was a battle. The companions, many of them were injured and some of them were critically injured. There were certain Sahaba who had the task of passing water around. This one particular companion went to one Sahabi who was now in the last stages of his life. He was calling out for water. He presented the water to him. While he was about to drink the water a few meters away, another Sahabi called out for water, water. He had been critically wounded as well. The Sahabi says, no, go and give him water first. Go and give him, we've heard this incident over and over again. He went in to give the water to that person. Again, a few meters away, somebody else called out for water. This person says, no, give him water first. He rushes to that Sahabi. When he reaches him, he passes away. He goes back to the second, he has passed away. He goes back to the first, he has passed away. This was the life of the Sahaba Ikram. This was that jazba that they had in their lives, that they gave preference to others over themselves. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, the fulfillment of rights of others is extremely essential. Remember, respected elders and brothers, there's two aspects in a person's life. One is huququllah and one is huququl ibad. One is the rights that Allah Ta'ala enjoys upon us. And we need to fulfill those rights, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not ascribing any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, performing our 5 times prayers, discharging our zakat, fasting in the month of Ramadan. These are all rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person violates these rights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the person. Of course, if the person realizes his error, he makes sincere repentance, he makes tawbah and istighfar, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why will Allah not forgive the person? Provided, of course, he has to fulfill the rights of others. And the second aspect, respected elders and brothers, is the rights that other individuals enjoy upon us. This is extremely critical. Because remember, respected elders and brothers, when it comes to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive. Allah is willing to forgive. But if we have violated the rights of our fellow Muslim brothers, our sisters, our wives, our family members, we have violated the rights of the neighbors, then, respected elders and brothers, we are treading a very dangerous path. Nabi Kareem Sa'asam mentioned in one hadith, Man al-Muflis. He inquired from the Sahaba Ikram that who is a person who is completely insolvent? He doesn't have anything. Sahaba Ikram replied to Rasulullah Sa'asam, that person who doesn't have any wealth. Or that person, we can extend it, that person who is perhaps his liabilities has exceeded his assets. Nabi Kareem Sa'asam explained it in terms of the akhirah. That person is a muflis, is insolvent. He's done a lot of good deeds. In this world, mashallah, namaz was in order. I'm elaborating. His salah was in order. His fasting was all in order. Mashallah, he was making sacrifices for the sake of deen too. Perhaps he was running a madrasa. Perhaps he was doing deeni work. All of this in place. However, he had violated the rights of people. He had perhaps sworn this person. He had been nasty to that person. He had made ghibah of this individual. He had backbited this person. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said, this person will come on the day of Qiyamah with a mountain of good deeds. But each person whose rights had been violated will come forward and put his complaint before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will direct the person and go to him and take as many good deeds from his mountain of good deeds as pleases you. One by one, each person will come and they will take and they will take and take until eventually it is mentioned, this person will have absolutely no good deeds. Everything will have been taken. Now more people will still come forward. Ya Allah, he violated my rights. He did this to me. He did me down. He did this. Now Allah Ta'ala will say, now you take your bad deeds and offload it onto him. Until eventually, instead of having a mountain of good deeds, this person, Allah protect us, will have a mountain of guna and a mountain of sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This person, he thought that he was all in order, but he was not concerned about the rights of other individuals. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, human rights as Muslims and in the life of Muslims is extremely essential. It's critical. Therefore, we should always make a habit that if accidentally, we are human beings, we make mistakes sometimes, we get caught up, we make ghibah about someone. We talk bad about someone behind their backs. Make a habit to meet the person. Sometimes it's the time of Eid, sometimes it could be Jummah. Say, brother, you know, I heard the talk. And if I said anything or did anything to you, make me mad. Forgive me. Forgive me. So continuously ask the person for forgiveness. And of course, when you're asking for forgiveness, be sincere. Be sincere. Not that you, immediately after Jummah, you got it in your mind that, you know, I'm going to carry on doing what I'm doing. Ask for forgiveness. Perhaps you haven't paid the person for a good few months. You are owing him some monies. And you're ducking and diving and, you know, cutting the call and this and that. Pick up the phone and tell the person, look, make maaf, you know, I've been doing this, it's wrong. I'm going through a little bit of financial difficulty. Perhaps is it possible for you to give me some more time? Inshallah, within a few months, I'll try and pay you out. And then give a certain date. And make sure that you pay the person. And if for some reason you don't have the money at that time, rather take a loan from somebody else and pay the person. Because this too is not correct, respected brothers and sisters. Nabi Kareem Sahasim said in one hadith that the shaheed, every single sin of his will be forgiven illa dayn, except debts. That person who took this kind of debts and didn't pay the individual, then this person, all his sins will be forgiven except those debts which are outstanding. That is why make sure that if you have taken a loan from someone, if you are owing someone, you've taken stock from a certain individual, perhaps it hasn't stolen, perhaps there was a fire that took place in your shop, but that's got nothing to do with that person. At the end of the day, you've taken goods from him, you need to pay him out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and make us true believers. So the important point is, respected elders and brothers, let us not confine our Islam to the masajid, let it transcend in every aspect of our lives, especially when it involves the rights of others, the rights of our wives, the rights of our children, the rights of our neighbors. That is a separate topic in itself, which requires much more time, but we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the rights of all Muslimin throughout the world, and Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of others. MashaAllah, brother, Ismail Salaji had requested me to make an announcement. Okay, inshallah, there will be a program taking place tonight in Masjid-e-Noor, tomorrow night rather, in Masjid-e-Noor, as well as the invitation that is given out to the brothers for the Ijtima that will be taking place on the 19th onwards. So brothers are requested to participate in these kind of events. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the event successful and the objectives of the event to be realized. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.